Hello and welcome, beautiful souls. On this podcast, I talk about the spiritual, the mystical, the psychological, the new earth, ghosts, aliens, and so much more. Sometimes interviewing fascinating guests, and other times it's just me talking about the wonders of life. Welcome to Dreamscape. Hello and welcome to Dreamscape, beautiful soul. I hope that you are enjoying today, this week, this year, so far. So good, I was going to say, but the world is a little bit bonkers. I mean, I have said this before, but I mean, it is just getting more and more bonkers. It's, they're shooting down UFOs. It's like wars. It's like, it's just crazy stuff, like more manipulation and whatever. But I can only laugh because what else can I do? It's like, it's just crazy town out there. But I think that, and like I always say, like it always starts with you. You always have to be the person that changes the world. This is your world. Change it. If you want it to be changed, just be the change that you want to see. Like you want to see kinder people, be a kind person. If you want to see more abundance, be that person that gives abundance. Whatever that may look like to you, it doesn't need to be money. It could be kindness and empathy. You know, that's what we really all want to see. We all want to be connected and feel the love. So, if you want to see it, be it. That's just it. In today's podcast episode, I'm interviewing a wonderful woman called Anna Wahlqvist. She has gone through two NDEs, which I find absolutely fascinating. I do think that there's so much nobody knows for sure what happens when we croak and when we pass to the other side. But she did it in kind of an odd kind of way. It's not like she didn't die. She just kind of left her body and was someplace else. And she's a person that's like brought up academically and is always like looking for the scientific solution or explanation and stuff. So it was very interesting listening to her tell me about these NDEs. So I hope you enjoy today. And if you want to know more about her, you can just contact her. I'll if you contact me, I'll send you a link to her email or something so that you can ask more. She is writing a biography. It will be in Swedish, however, for now at least. And what else? I just urge you to live in the present moment and live as much in love as possible and ask yourselves inward why you're being triggered if you're being triggered. But more so, just embrace the day. You know, this might be your last one. You don't know. So just really enjoy the ride and enjoy the podcast interview. And I will see you on the other side of the interview or in the next podcast. Blah, blah, blah. I'm blathering. I'll see you later. Love you. Bye. So welcome, Anna Wahlqvist, to the podcast.
Thank you.
I'm quite excited. Like, as a lot of you know, I'm a bit of an NDE nerd. I love NDEs. I think they're fascinating. And Anna has had two NDEs. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and you had something that happened to you called the void, which I understand to be not maybe the most positive experience, but in the end, or as it is as a whole, it's been a good thing anyway.
If
I've understood
correct,
yeah,
absolutely.
So, and you're in the midst of also writing a biography. You told mm-hmm. me. So mm-hmm. this is why I find this very interesting. And if you enjoy today's interview and want to know more, then I'll link her below, so you can just contact her, and if you want to buy her book for free afterwards,
you're welcome.
But so we'll just start, take it from the beginning, and let's just dive right into the first NDE that you had. And mm-hmm. what happened, what was it like just before, and like what was your life like mm-hmm. before, just briefly, and what led yeah. up to that?
Yeah, exactly. So in short, this was 2014. Mm-hmm. I think it was Boxing Day, the day after Christmas Day. I have three kids, and all of them lived with me at the time. And my husband, we're not married anymore, not together anymore, but we used to be at that time. And I was having a good life. It was intense, you know, work and kids and everything, but I was feeling fine. I come from a background that's very like scientific. Mm-hmm. I am used to being able to explain things that happen to people, to me or in the world, in like scientific terms, maybe in psychology, you know, things like that. But no one ever really talked about religion or spirituality in my family, in my upbringing, and not in the context where I were at the time. So this came really out of the blue mm-hmm. for me. And well, that day I was out running some errands with my youngest son. He was 6 years old at the time. And we had, we'd been out in some different shops, and everything was fine. He was a bit hungry, so we went into McDonald's. And we sat down and we had our meals. And he wanted to walk a few meters to this, you know, this kind of glass cupboard where they have the little McDonald's toys. Mm-hmm. So he stood there. I could see him. He was just a couple of meters away from me. And I enjoyed my coffee. Well, it wasn't very good, but it was hot. You know, McDonald's coffee was fine. A few minutes by myself, and everything was cool, and the restaurant was like kind of a good energy. So I sat there and had my coffee. And then I was just going to pick up like a lip gloss or something from my purse. So I turned my head like down like this. Mm-hmm. And then it happened. It took like 2 seconds. I heard this like a buzzing noise. And then I was in this void. Mm-hmm. And everything disappeared. The whole world around the normal world that we used to, I disappeared, like my identity, my ego, my person, but I was still there, and boy, was I there. I mean, this was like a consciousness that's kind of a thousand times, a million times stronger than the consciousness you can ever experience. I have done some meditation, especially after this, and it never comes even close. It's not mm-hmm. close. It was like, I was, this is so hard to put into words. It was like I was life. Mm-hmm. I was consciousness. And it wasn't like I was an entity inside something bigger. It was like I was the mm-hmm. large vastness of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And
could you, sorry to interrupt you there, but could you remember then or think that you were Anna just moments ago? Or no?
Nothing. No. Everything just disappeared. All the thoughts, all the language, everything was gone. Mm. So I had I wasn't wondering where I was. There was no one there to wonder. There was no one there to ask those questions. Mm. And I wasn't scared, probably because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
in the usual way that you are. So, and the thing is that this lasted for, I have understood like afterwards, that it must have been around 20 seconds, mm-hmm. but it felt like an eternity. it just went on and on and on. And time was, I would say that there was an aspect of time, but it was only now. I mean, normally you have this like perception of that time has passed, something has happened, and something is probably going to happen. But those aspects were gone. It was only now. And it was actually like, it was also like a space that never ended.
Mm-hmm.
But the time and the space and the consciousness were like the same thing. It was like, it was it was a whole. They were not separable from each other. So it felt like I was the presence, but I was also the present moment. And I was also the space.
Yeah.
It's really
almost sounds like you became one with God or something. And I know it's hard to take in, like, for somebody listening that may not have had any kind of experience like this.
No,
it
sure.
is hard because obviously we're having our human experience at this mm-hmm. moment. But but you're explaining it beautifully, and so what happened after that? Like, what happened when you were in the void? And
I was there, and I can't say I was waiting because there was no one there to wait. But it went on and on like forever, and it was just this calm place, and then suddenly there was this kind of bubbling with me. I didn't have any questions still. I wasn't wondering or asking any questions in my head. I didn't have access to my brain, I think, or the thinking part of the brain. Yeah. But there was something there with me, and like a texture, like a bubbling texture, or maybe a water over rocks and a little creek, or a bubbling water in a glass or in a pot or something like that. And after a few seconds more, I realized that it was a sound. So I heard a sound, but I didn't know what it was. And then there were two kinds of thoughts. This was way before I even got my identity back or my feeling of identity. There were two thoughts that I got. And the first one was, I have a son. I have a child. Where is my child? And I couldn't see. I couldn't understand what I was seeing. I had gotten my eyesight back, but I couldn't understand what I was seeing. But I had a feeling of my son, and that kind of dragged me back, I think, that thought of him. So I realized I have to understand something about what's going on around me. So I looked around and I saw him. I didn't know his name, but I recognized him, and he stood there and everything was fine. And the second thought I got was like, not where am I, but is it okay in here? Is everything okay in here? How is the energy in here? Is there a risk for him? And everything was fine. People were like eating and talking and in low voices like this. And I was like, okay, so check on the sun, check on the energy in the room. Everything is okay. And then the rest came back, like my thoughts, my identity, the rest of my life, all my memories. I knew who I was, what my name, everything. In a few seconds. So that was about it. And we got up. There was this woman sitting across the aisle. I had said hello to her before because I worked at a school. And she was a mother of one of the students. So before we ate, we just said like, hi, how are you? And when I came back, she was like looking at me like, are you okay? Like this. And I realized that I had been sitting like this, sitting up all the time. And I was like, oh, I'm drooling. and I hadn't. But she looked at me like, are you okay? Can I help you? And I was like, I'm okay, I'm fine. So I got my son, we got our jackets on, and we left. And I took the not very wise decision to drive back home, but it turned out fine. I came back and
you remembered how to drive.
Yeah, I remembered how to drive. I remembered everything then. And I called my mom and she was like, I couldn't understand any of this at all because I had no idea this was an NDE. No. I had heard about NDEs, but I had never heard about anything like that. And I thought I had just experienced some kind of medical condition that can obviously make you be conscious in a totally different way than usual. And I thought that if people must know about this. I mean, science must know about this. The medicals must know about this. But no one did. There was an ambulance that came to my home just because my mom was worried when I called her. And she said, maybe you had an epileptic episode or something like that. And they thought maybe there was something wrong with there's this nerve, this cranial nerve. It's called the vagus nerve, I think. Or the vagus nerve. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And they said maybe there was something, it can be like lagging sometimes. So it takes time for it to adjust the blood flow in the body. And I probably had some lack of oxygen to the brain. So that was what they said. But this was a very strange period because I really tried to understand what had happened and there were no answers. I couldn't find anything. My doctors were just like, well, you don't have a clue. The friends I talked to, I didn't really have the courage to talk to everybody because you don't want people to be concerned about you and worried for you, or maybe think that you're a little nuts or something like that, or have been watching too many strange movies or Googled too much or joined some strange sect or.
Yeah, I've had that one thrown at me.
Yeah.
The sex thing.
Yeah. So that was the first episode.
Mm. And how did that change your perception of life at all, like from the first one?
It did, even more after the second one. But after the first one, what happened was actually I tried to push this experience out of my life and out of my brain because I couldn't understand it. I couldn't make any sense of it. Mm. And there was no one to really talk to about it. I thought later on, I realized there are always people that you can talk to. You just need to find them.
Yeah.
But at that point, I didn't talk to people much about this. And but even though I tried to push this away, I started to change. Empathy has not been a big problem for me before either, but suddenly it was like I could really, when I stood in front of a person, I could sometimes I couldn't really feel myself anymore. It was like there's no one here.
Yeah.
It's like air can blow right through me. This is empty. And when someone stood in front of me, maybe could be criticizing me for something. Before, I think I was always like having some kind of a veil around here, like a shield, not very hard, but still like a little defense, you know. And that was so normal for me before, so I didn't ever think about it. But after this, it was like there is nothing here, so. When I listened to a person, I was never afraid anymore for what the person was going to say to me. Maybe you recognize this.
I talked about
ego death once.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I had and I understood it during the ego death, and I have a much bigger understanding of that now. It sounds like to me like you really have come really, really far in that area. I used to really, really care what other people thought about me.
Yeah,
I didn't realize I thought that, if that makes sense. But
exactly.
But yeah, and now it's like I'm always asking the question, why am I being triggered whenever I'm feeling like hurt by something, or like then I'm like, oh, hang on, why is that? And I realize I am not my thoughts anymore. But,
no, exactly.
But so yeah, so I understand where you're coming from, and it's I think it's sometimes hard for people to get there if they've been through a lot and they don't, and nothing like that has ever happened to them, like an NDE or a, you know, or it's because it's takes a lot of self-healing, and it's a big journey to go through, but it's so anyway, sorry, sidetrack there, but I love digging deep in these things.
Yeah,
but
then so when
so when did your second NDE happen?
That was like 3.5 years later, and that was at my home, and I had been out. It was in the middle of the summer, so it was really warm, and we had been out swimming the whole day, and I came back kind of late in the evening, and my older son was there, and he was like 17 at the time, I think, and we were like really hungry, but we were just about to, we had a little hamster. Was it called a hamster in English?
Hamster.
A little,
it's the same.
Yeah, it's the same.
It's hamster in Swedish.
Yes, very hamster. Yeah, a small one.
Hamster.
So we just had to, we wanted to talk to that little hamster first. So we sat down on the floor, him and I, my son and I, and we checked on the hamster, and I had it in my hand like this, and he like changed the water, filled up the water bottle, and changed the food and things. And then we stood up, and he gave me a hug, and he was like in my arms like this, standing on the floor of our living room. And he said, I'm really hungry. I have to get some sandwiches. And I was like, sure. And he left me on the floor to walk to the kitchen. We was like 3 meters over to the left. And then it happened again. It was the buzzing sound.
Gosh.
And then I disappeared.
Yeah.
And it was kind of the same, but this time I also, this sounds pretty strange, but I felt my pulse. So I was like, and because in that kind of state, I can't realize at all or even wonder about it, that I don't know. I don't have any perception. I don't have any hearing, any eyesight, anything like that. But in some way, I perceived my pulse. So it was like I was in my pulse. It was like this. It felt like some kind of a grinding movement of this pulsation of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it also felt like I was even further into this realm of reality where whatever it is than the first time. It went really fast. And like really at the bottom of it, I can't describe this, but it feels like there is a bottom of this. It's like an abyss of consciousness, and I was even further down in that. And the strange thing that happened when I came back from that time was that it took it wasn't a long period of time. It must have been like 10 seconds or 15 seconds maybe, from the moment that I got my eyesight back, my senses came back, that I was still in the other time. So it was, the time passed extremely slowly. I mean, it didn't pass. The time doesn't pass in that realm. It is. The time is always now.
Mm.
But it was still all, it was still now. And I, when I came back and I, my eyes kind of saw these brown rectangular shapes. And I had no idea what that was. It wasn't like just a regular, I lost my memory. Oh, where am I? What just happened? It wasn't like that. It was like, this doesn't make sense. What is this? It was like the existing didn't make sense.
Mm.
And I saw these colors, the shapes above those rectangular brown ones. And I saw this light on my left, and I heard something, and it was the voice of my son, but I didn't know at the time. I heard something, and it was like I was with one foot in this reality and one foot in the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stood there, and I felt like the pressure from the floor on the soles of my feet, and I couldn't make any sense of it. And it felt like it went on forever. And then again, the child, it seems like it's always the love.
Yeah.
Somewhere it's always about the love. So I realized I heard him, and this must be a voice, and it must be a voice from someone who is important, because that was the thing that like brought me back. It was like something in me kind of decided, okay, I have to go back. He's talking to me, and he's important to me, and I have to be there. And it was this buzzing sound again, and I was back in the body. And he was like asking me, Mom, did you want a sandwich? That was obviously
real important things.
I have to answer him. Yes, I do.
Yes. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was. And that was really, really weird coming back to that question.
Yeah.
So that was the second time. And I think that was like, I still don't know what I believe. I'm still kind of, the way I'm brought up with all this scientific proof and stuff, it's hard for me to let go of that altogether. So I can't really, I have to believe what I have experienced. And I also want to believe what other people tell me that they have experienced. But the rest of this, like, belief, I mean, like not knowing, the rest is like religion, and that's fine too. But I need to separate from myself what am I actually sure of, and what is things that I could theorize about. So, and I'm not finished with the theorizing yet, but obviously there is another way of being that we usually don't have access to.
Yeah,
I know that for sure.
Yeah, I think some things like we'll never really know until we cross over, for sure. And but like when you were in this, was it like did it feel like it like dark, or was it?
Yes, it was dark.
Because I've heard about the dazzling darkness, as some call it. Like this. It's not like a negative darkness, like I would say, because like I'm scared of the dark-ish, you know. But it's not like that. Like that, they say it's like, well, like the way you described it, which is why they say dazzling. It's like, but did you ever feel like, you know, you wanted to like stay there, or what was your?
No, I didn't feel that I wanted anything when I was there. I didn't have any ability to want or to wish anything. I didn't have any like human emotions. So I wasn't happy, and I wasn't scared, and I didn't want to stay. I didn't want to leave, didn't want anything. But one thing that I actually did experience, like some kind of a feeling, it was more like a curiosity, or like being prepared. Like I am prepared for anything. And when I described this for my kids the first time, it took me some years before I talked to them about it. I needed them to be big enough to be able to handle it and not be too scared. I tried to explain it, and the best thing I could come up with was like, I felt like being a supercomputer in standby. You know, there was no information available, but it was like if anyone would have given me a tiny bit of information, I could do anything with it, or I could take all the information in the world, I could take it all on and solve anything.
Yeah.
It was like a vast, also very strong intelligence that was like, that could do like an omnipotence, but there wasn't anything available to know at that specific time. Do you? It's so hard to describe. I'm trying hard.
Yeah, no, you're doing really well, because I can't even imagine like what you went through, because obviously it's so I only have my own thing, but my thing was quite different. But just the knowing and the being, like the one thing I do feel like I have in common with your NDE or the ego death was the knowing, like I had an understanding of everything. All of a sudden, I just had this much, much, much larger understanding. And I also understood everything that Jesus had said and Buddha had said and all that. You know, you hear these wise things and you're like, yeah, that sounds good. And you think you get it, but you don't really get it. And now it's like I've lost it again. It did teach me that I am here to have the human experience. And because sometimes I sort of tend to seek those things because mm-hmm. I'm just so curious of it. What I love with your experience and with the way you're thinking is because when it comes from somebody that's very extremely logical and mm-hmm. is academically brought up, and like there's always you're always looking for those kind of answers and need, you know, solutions. And when something like that happens to somebody like you, or like a doctor who I've read and seen mm-hmm. countless NDEs with doctors who don't believe in anything, like they're atheists and they come back and they're like, okay, it's not like I know everything, but I know that there is way more, and they can't even explain it. And how do you feel about death now? Like, how do you?
Well, the thing is, I'm not afraid of death anymore. Well, I would rather have a normal NDE when I go, like a happy one.
Yeah.
Like going through the tunnel and seeing your life review and meeting your meeting my grandpa would be nice.
Yeah.
I think that I don't believe in death anymore.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it felt like I did die. I didn't. I mean, my body was still working. Parts of my brain was still working. My heart was still in good shape and everything. But it felt like dying. It felt like losing everything, like losing your person. And if that is the last thing that happens to you, if that's the worst thing, then there is nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
Because either you are there forever and that will be fine, or you come to some other place, or you come back to another life. I don't know which yet, but I'm not afraid of death anymore. But the best thing is probably that I'm not that afraid of life either, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I have never been a terribly nervous or anxious person, but pretty normally. But maybe, you know, what you said, like a people pleaser, I wanted people to like me. Also a little bit worried about my kids and maybe sometimes about money and things. And now I'm not very worried about things anymore.
Yeah.
Especially not for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the best thing about it, I think.
I absolutely love that because it seems it goes hand in hand. If you're scared of death, you're scared of life. And if you're not scared of death, you're not scared of life. Like, goes hand in mm-hmm. hand all the time. Mm. And I really like that. Thank you so much for sharing your stories. It's been amazing. Like, when is your biography coming out?
Well, I just actually started writing it like a month ago, and I have some more writing to do. But it depends on if there is a publisher who would like to publish it for me. In that case, it depends on the publisher when it comes out. And otherwise, I will publish it myself. So hopefully within the year, but maybe next year.
Okay.
But it really feels like it took me so many years to be able to really talk about this. But now it's like this story has to be told. It's like I don't really have any control over that anymore. It's like it really wants me to tell it. I don't know why. Maybe there are people who can feel comfort in it, or maybe there is someone out there who has to whom something strange had happened too, and they weren't able to speak to someone about it, and I think we really need to listen to each other and not be that skeptical, not as skeptical as I used to be.
Mm.
Really need to hear each other out and not dismiss each other for telling a story about something that you haven't, that you don't know anything about. We don't know anything.
Yeah.
Or enough.
Exactly. Just like for people to be open-minded and not scared to talk to people, like you said. And I think it is scaring a lot of people. I think a lot of people are waking up right now, and I do think it's a bit frightening for a lot of people. But once you understand, you know nothing. It's really, what's the word? It's I'm in my Swedish head right now. it's just a
liberating.
Freedom.
Liberating.
It's liberating. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like,
I thought you were going to help me. Yeah.
I know. Like this whole week, I've been like in my English head, and today I'm like, now I'm like, oh, damn it. What's the word? Anyway, it's good. We can help each other.
Yeah, that's good.
That's so, but keep for the audience then, like just to keep an eye and ear out for Anna's biography.
Yeah.
It'll be in Swedish.
In Swedish.
So just keep an eye out for that. Thank you again so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you for letting me be here.
Yeah.
You too.
You take care.
Bye.